we are happy to welcome to the program a terrific actor. You've seen him on shows like Gaslit, Hunters, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, a lengthy list of performances as an actor, a tremendous amount of voice actor work as well, and shows like Family Guy, a show that's big in my house, The Loud House, also with our friend Stephen Tobolowsky. And for my money, he is one of the absolute best impressionists in the business. Jim Meskimen joins us. Jim, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me aboard. I appreciate it. Thanks for that nice introduction.
All right, before we talk about you, which is why we're here today, I have to ask about your mother, because we had her on our show a couple of years ago, and she was an absolutely delightful person to talk with. I know she just celebrated a birthday recently. How is Marion Ross doing?
Yeah, Marion Ross, Mrs. C, she just celebrated the big 9-4. We had a lovely party for her, and she felt very beloved. She got a lot of nice flowers and cards from people, so she's very happy and healthy, and sends her love and says, you know, she's so happy that she raised you so well and that you turned out so nice.
Well, let's talk about your work, Jim. I have such a weak spot for talented impressionists, and you are so very good at it. And I watched some of your great instructional videos on your website. And I love the way you talk to people about how you approach the impressions that you do, that you begin often without any spoken words, but in trying to see the world through the eyes of those people.
Well, yeah, that's the main thing. I mean, because, impressions, you know, like I do Robin Williams a lot. And I mean, you could do Robin Williams' voice and it wouldn't have the same sort of character if you didn't really look at the world the way he does. And, you could just sort of isolate this sort of deep sort of brown sound that he has. But if you could sound like a guy who was giving a speech at the Marriott, you know, you got to really kind of imbue it with his life force and his, intensity and energy and all that sort of thing. So really, for me, the most important thing is viewpoint. What is that? How does that person see the world? And because, you know, people, also these celebrities that we impressionists do their own versions of and their homages to, these celebrities, they change. They sound different. Often they sound different from film to film. You know, if they're really great and they're among the pantheon of magnificent actors that we revere, you'll see them decade after decade. And they certainly don't sound the way in their 70s the way they did in their 20s when they grew to prominence sometimes.
I like the fact, too, that you've said you like to do impressions of people whose work you like and respect.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I find it's easier to absorb them anyway. You know, I'm sort of consuming their personality along with whatever their performance is. And at the end of the day, I sort of tallied it up. I went, all these guys that I do that I'm really good at doing are also happen to be my favorite performers. So,
you know, like there's a great actor named Tommy Lee Jones who I have respected and been interested in for quite a while since I saw him in a film called Stormy Monday, which has got to be 30 years ago. But I sort of stowed him away. Whenever I saw him in a picture, I always kind of paid close attention because there was something marvelous in the way he performed. And even though he's not a very enthusiastic person, doesn't seem to be, he still is awfully, awfully compelling.
Well, and that's part of it, too. You explain in your videos that everybody has a different style. Some are a bit more laconic. Some are a bit more percussive when they speak.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's like music. I look at it. I'm not a musician. I'm not a trained musician, but I like to sing. And I know most voice actors in my field, the good ones, the pros, have a musical side of themselves. You know, Rob Paulsen comes to mind. He was the Pinky of Pinky and the Brain. And he's a wonderful singer and complex stuff. He can sing really, and does in his performances. And so I think it's the same kind of listening and appreciation of different tones that goes into it. I don't know. There's a lot to human voices. You know, there's so much that is expressed by our voices. And that makes me kind of sad sometimes because we're now interacting with so many mechanical voices and robots and stuff. And, you know, when you talk to a real person, it's a very different experience.
Mm. Now, did you have a gift for mimicry as a kid? And how much of what you do is gift and how much is obviously the hard work that you put in?
Yeah, that's a question I get a lot. And I really don't know how to answer it exactly because I don't know what the percentage is. I mean, I'm sure talent, whatever that is, has something to do with it. You could call it a gift or whatever, a natural sort of, I guess, you know, you just feel like you're a few steps ahead of people for whatever reason. And I guess I had some aspect of that. But the main thing for me in all the different art forms that I've studied, because I'm a painter, I'm a writer, I've done all kinds of stuff, you know, what are you interested in? Because that's the area that's going to bear the most fruit. And that's, after a while, you know, like, well, where does the talent stop and the ability that's gained through practice begin? I don't know. I can't tell that. But I just like to do the things, I like to do the things that make me laugh and make me feel alive. And that appeal to others too. So that's how it works.
We're talking with Jim Meskimen here on Downtown. You mentioned your paintings. Is that your artwork that appears in the background on your videos?
Yeah, on those some of those videos that I did a few years ago. Yeah, those are my. I did a series of paintings for a while. I haven't been painting much lately, but I'm a trained artist. I went to Spain and in my 20s and I studied with a master, and I really thought I was going down that road. And then I realized I don't really know how to make a living at this. And I'd seen my mother earn a living as an actress. So I thought, well, you know, I think I'm going to go to New York and try to be an actor because, you know, there's a couple of good reasons. One, I'll be able to support myself. I know how to do that. I've seen that happen. I know it can happen. And the other reason was I wanted an art form that was a little more social than painting. Painted in a kind of an isolated environment for a long time, which was good to a point. But I think for me and who I am, I really like to be around people.
Now, speaking of being around people, do you find when you travel that you tend to take on whatever regional accent is existing and you're encountering there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I do research. I mean, if I go to Scotland, for example, I talk to people and try to understand what it is that makes them sound so particular. And, you know, I've been to Paris as well, and, you know, you start to talk like this people to communicate with them, and Germany, wherever you happen to go, you can gather research and begin to understand something, you know, about how they explain things. And I've always had a real hunger and an appetite to learn accents because my mother did it too. When I was growing up, my mother would imitate people and particularly accents of people because we had people in our lives that had some wonderful accents, and it's sort of fun. You know, I think everybody enjoys that, the action of doing it if you have an ear for it. And it's just marvelous how even just English language speakers, how many different kinds there are on the planet. Everyone's kind of doing their own version of it, and it's delightful.
You also incorporate a physicality into your impressions that I think make them even more expressive, and you're able to transform your face, your appearance, and really become those people.
Well, thank you. That's, yeah, a lot of people mention that. I find it hard to, you know, occupy a certain character and not take on the physicality. And you can learn a lot about a character. You know, actors know this very much, that a character can be expressed purely physically. So, in fact, I'll probably do a video of that sometime, of just the character without any talking at all, and see if people can identify it. Jim Carrey was great at that, probably still is, at creating these very broad physical caricatures of celebrities. And so there's a lot of different ways to express it. Again, it's an art form, so, you know, you have a lot of free reign.
And you pick up as many impressionists do. You pick up on key words when you're trying to learn that voice. For instance, what were the key words that helped you find your way to creating a Morgan Freeman impression?
Oh yeah, that was you know, back in the days before there were lots and lots of Morgan Freeman imitators. I launched into. I had an epiphany one time. I was listening to Morgan Freeman. They were using his voice for an advertisement for that movie, Seven, The Seven Deadly Sins. And as I heard his voice, he said, "There are seven deadly sins." And for some reason, I thought, hey, I think I know how I could make that sound. Seven deadly sins. And that was kind of the key to that one. So, I mean, it doesn't always work that way with me. Sometimes I've watched somebody for years and years and realized, oh, I have them so in my head. I think I know which lever to pull inside my face and my throat to duplicate that sound. And other times it comes across, you know, like you said, with just a couple words that suddenly strike me. I go, oh, I know where those land. I know where that vibration comes from.
Now, I don't recall hearing anybody do George Clooney until you, and yours is brilliant.
Right. In fact, other than George, I've never heard anybody do a George Clooney before. So I guess I'm kind of a specialist. I had the pleasure of working with George Clooney on a film called Monuments Men. Mm. And he called me in to do Harry Truman's voice. He had an actor that looked like Harry Truman but didn't sound like him. And I had to do a little research. Truman is not one of these people that there's just scads and scads of recordings of. But anyway, I got the job, and I got to go to Warner Brothers, and there was George. And it was very pleasant. I did not do my George Clooney impression for George, but I am aware that he knows that I do it.
And what's the key to a successful Clooney?
Well, you just have to be as handsome as hell. I don't know. He's got a very unique voice. I mean, we're about the same age, so that helps. You know, like Bryan Cranston is another guy who, genetically speaking, is very similar to me. And I can kind of just by tensing my jaw, basically, and pitching my voice a little lower, I do a pretty passable Bryan Cranston. I'm not sure if he knows I'm doing it. Probably not. I hope not. But anyway, that's a fun one to break out.
Yeah, Brian's been on our show a few times. Yeah, that's very good. Now we can just say Brian's been on again. No one's going to know the difference there. We're talking with Jim Meskimen here on Downtown. Let's talk about your acting. You got a lot going on these days, working with Sean Penn and Julia Roberts in Gaslit. What's that experience been like for you?
Well, yeah, that show, I think it's been released in March or April on Starz, Gaslit, the Watergate drama. And yeah, Sean Penn, boy, it was amazing. I just went last night to an event where he was honored by the Television Academy. But, you know, it was a lot of fun. You get a little nervous. I've worked with a lot of Oscar winners, actually. I tallied them up one day, and I've worked with about 15 or 16 Oscar winners. Starting with the first movie I ever did was with Marissa Tomei, a Ron Howard film called The Paper. But, you know, sometimes you get a little nervy because they come with a lot of expensive baggage. And in Sean Penn's case, I was like, I don't know what to expect. This is a larger-than-life guy. He's very passionate. He's all in on whatever he's all in on, you know. and he's playing this. It's a sort of a political project, and you know, what's this going to be like? And when I met him, he was just the nicest, warmest, down-to-earth guy. We actually spent quite a bit of time together one afternoon shooting our scene and hanging out and talking about things. I knew some people he knew, and we had some mutual friends, and you know, we just talked about stuff. But the thing that made it easiest is that he had just a mountain of prosthetic makeup on. So if you've seen him, he looked you know, he played John Mitchell. John Mitchell was an overweight bald man in his 60s with an enormous nose, all those things that Sean Penn really doesn't resemble. So he was under so much beautiful prosthetic makeup that, I don't know, I just didn't get starstruck. It's like, it was not nerve-wracking at all, and he was very cordial.
You also did Hunters with Pacino and Carol Kane. For an impressionist, that had to be so hard, I would think, to be working with Pacino and not do Pacino.
It would have been. I you know, fortunately for me, Pacino was not in my scene. So he is in the show, he is the star, but I was not in his scene. So, yeah, I've worked with, I'll tell you what, I worked with that Matthew McConaughey a long time ago, too, before he was a big Oscar winner as well, but you know, you just sort of, every actor's different. You just figure out a way to keep it real and authentic and try to, you know, not step on each other's lines or move a chair, you know, when the other guy's talking, stuff like that.
And you're going to be playing Phil Donahue in an upcoming project. Can you tell us about that?
That's right. It's a show called Welcome to Chippendales, about the Chippendales, how the Chippendales empire rose and fell. They needed a guy to play Phil Donahue because, believe it or not, you might remember, they got their big American debut on the Phil Donahue show. So I had to pull out my inner Donahue and put on a nice white hairpiece and little paunch and go to town.
And you're also, people may not know, you're the voice of Colonel Sanders these days.
That's right. I am a voice, and thank you for mentioning it. Yeah, I have been the voice of Colonel Sanders on your radio and your television for about 6 or 7 years now. It's a very rewarding relationship.
So many people do George W. Bush, but yours is, I think, the very best of all of them.
Well, that's very kind. I want to tell you something. You're a great American, first of all. And secondly, you're a great American. So thank you. And your family. Yeah, I've been doing George W. Bush for a long time. He's seen my or heard my impression of him because I was at one of those White House press corps dinners one night, and we released I did a lot of work with the Spirit Ellis brothers, who are the Jib Jab creators.
Right.
And we used to do these yearly animations, mostly featured a lot of George W. Bush singing and carrying on and dancing around. And we released one of our films at that press conference dinner. And he was there. He laughed. So I may be being followed by the CIA, but if they are following me, they're being very stealthy.
Well, Jim, we love your work. People can visit your website at jimmeskimen.com. You never know when you're hearing Jim's voice, because a lot of times you may think it's somebody else, but it's Jim. It's been great to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us today.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for the gracious interview. I'll see you around. I'll see you around the campus.
You got it. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Bye-bye.